Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs, and welcome to the Great America Show. Good to have you with us. Today is the day the Biden regime finally gives some attention to the East Palestine, Ohio hazardous chemical disaster. That disaster because of a train derailment nearly 3 weeks ago. President Trump, well, he was there yesterday, declaring Biden's regime betrayed the folks in Palestine, ignoring the disaster, ignoring them, the good Americans whose lives have been turned upside down. No one, not a single top Bidenista official, not President Biden himself, who was doing a photo op in Ukraine, not his vice president, not his transportation secretary. None would give the Palestinian residents the time of day. FEMA officials right away told the Palestinian residents, nothing we can do for you, sorry. The EPA wasn't interested either, and we know how Pete Buttigieg got at least part of his name. The Bidenistas wouldn't be there at all if President Trump hadn't taken charge. It took Donald Trump saying he would go to Palestine to help out those folks. He showed them what leadership and compassion looks like in a true president, assuring them that they're not forgotten. President Trump brought with him thousands of bottles of water, truckloads of water, cleansing supplies, and canned food for the residents. And now I want to tell you one of those stories that leaves a person scratching their head. And it's all about a Clinton aide who committed suicide in Arkansas. Now, you're probably thinking that sounds a little familiar, that it sounds like it should be a 25-year-old story, back when there were lots of stories about Clinton aides and strange happenings in Arkansas. But this tragic death happened less than a year ago. The Daily Mail reporting that the death of President Bill Clinton's special advisor, Mark Middleton, has been ruled a suicide almost a year later. Despite the fact that Middleton was found with a gunshot wound to his chest, but sheriff's deputies never found a gun anywhere. And by the way, Middleton had an extension cord wrapped around his neck as well and attached to a tree. So you say that you've got a choice as to the cause of death, but the sheriff ruled Middleton's death to be suicide despite all the questions that remain. No gun. And you may have a few other questions as well, as I report to you now, that it was Clinton's one-time aide, Mark Middleton, who signed Jeffrey Epstein into the White House 7 of the 17 times that Epstein visited the Clinton White House. Now that is strange, isn't it? Well, speaking of strange, isn't it strange that just when the congressional investigations of Biden, the Department of Justice, and the FBI begin, that suddenly we had UFOs, made-in-China spy balloons flying around? Are you kidding me? With a worsening Biden classified document scandal, the next thing we know, Biden is in Ukraine and Poland. Let's ask our guest today, Lee Smith. Lee's a journalist, author of The Plot to Overthrow the President, author as well of The Permanent Coup. So, Lee, what about those balloons? Were they there just to divert attention from the House investigations of Biden?
There's a lot. What did Obama, the Obama administration, call it? Stray voltage, right? There's just a lot of noise going on all over the place, and it's intended to distract Americans and deflect attention from the different things that are going on with these people.
Well, these balloons, I can't believe this, but here it is.
Yeah.
The White House saying now that they're not Chinese balloons, that in fact, there's no evidence of that, and that they didn't know about it, but it's okay because they're really not Chinese balloons. Meanwhile, the Chinese are threatening retaliation for knocking down their balloons. So how stupid are the people? And I mean, seriously, what do you think is going on with the low IQ levels of the White House membership?
Well, my read on the balloons was that it was effectively, I mean, there's a lot of people who've done some apparently interesting research on some of the things that these balloons might have been up to. My read on it, though, was virtually an advertisement from the Chinese Communist Party to explain, hey, we own your elites. We own your donor class. We own your president. We own your first family. We own an awful lot of your farmland. And now we own your airspace too. And there's nothing that anyone's going to do about it. So that was my kind of read on it, that this was a psychological operation, and how it managed to cross the continental, how it managed to enter through the Aleutian Islands, which is a place from which the United States watched Soviet nuclear activity in the Pacific theater for the duration of the Cold War. So how that was able to happen is, I'd like to say it's a mystery, but it's not a mystery. It's the Biden administration is what it is. There's no mystery here at all.
Well, there's a little mystery, and I agree with you about the administration itself, but it's who is directing this this aggregation of ineptitude and arrogance that makes up the White House staff. This president is obviously incapable of leading a dog, let alone a nation, the Western world. What makes us think that this president is nothing more than a puppet, and nothing less than a buffoon who is addled and impaired?
I think you're absolutely right. Look. Of course, we're Americans, and this touches on our lives and the lives of our family. However, sometimes I try to imagine that I'm a person from history looking at this, and I think that actually we've learned a lot the last several years about how the United States is frequently run, how it's run under the Biden administration, how it's run during the Obama years as well. Because if you look at the number of Obama figures who are in the Biden administration, and we go back and we use this to understand how the Obama years worked, what we're looking at again is a core group of incompetent and insane ideologues. There is one thing that they have. Well, I mean, now they own the instruments of the state, of the most powerful country in the world. But the one thing they have, it's not policy, it's not savvy, it's communications. And a large part of that is what happens when you get to own the entire media. And unfortunately, that's even going to include a lot of the ostensibly right-wing media as well. So I think, again, from a historical perspective, it's very useful for Americans to look and see what's happening with the Biden administration and try to understand what we're up against and what we've been up against for a while, as it turns out.
I accept that, and I think you're probably right. But after all, we do have the Biden laptop that is now considered valid by even the arch foes of liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness. That is the corporatist media, the Twitter files, the disinformation campaigns of the intelligence community, the Department of Justice. We have that. The admissions of former Attorney General Barr that leave only one conclusion, that indeed he did intervene, whether out of ineptitude or design, in the outcome of the 2020 election. We also know that Biden and the Marxist Dems and the deep state in concert purposely intervened in that election. They change history, whether you're talking about the 50 former veterans of the intelligence community, five of them CIA directors, former CIA directors. They did so for one reason, and that was to change history and to put the wrong man in the Oval Office. And they have gotten away with it to this point, haven't they?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The way that I've seen some of these confessions, for instance, the Hunter Biden laptop is real. I see it as kind of underscoring their power and the inability of the population to do anything about it right now, and the unwillingness and the cowardice of most of the GOP to do anything about it. That also needs to be taken in the context of what's happening now, of course. The GOP, even with a congressional majority, they can send as many criminal referrals as they want to Merrick Garland, but nothing's going to happen. What they're doing is they're putting out as much information as they possibly can to set the table for 2024. Of course, the issue is we'll see what happens in 2024, not only in terms of the electoral process, who is elected, but where the American people are at that point. Because as we've spoken about before, the center of gravity of the United States is the American people. And if we're going to keep having our face rubbed in it by the oligarchy, there may be a time, hopefully, whether there will be a straw that will break the camel's back. I mean, frankly, that's kind of where we are. The decisive question will be, will Americans decide to live as slaves? We're going to come to this. We're going to come to this question eventually. Will we live as slaves, or are we going to retake our liberty, our God-given rights?
Well, I think that's a question that goes to 2024. But I hear you questioning how efficacious these hearings are by the Republican Party in the House of Representatives. As you talk about a criminal referral, well, as you, I think most of us would agree, we won't see Merrick Garland accept that and throw somebody in the hooskow. So I agree with you. I don't know what happens there, but I hear a great deal of skepticism from you that you think that these hearings are going to produce much that will be a boost to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in 2024.
My concern looking at it historically is investigations of the intelligence services, both the Church Commission, as well as the Church Committee, as well as the 9/11 Commission, both of these in the end wound up strengthening American intelligence services. In particular, the FBI. I mean, it's frankly shocking. The Church Committee is basically how we got to Russiagate or mm-hmm. FISAgate, whatever we choose to call it. FISA came out, the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And the way that this was written was to allow the FBI to spy on people. They were pre-authorized in court. There's really nothing you can do. If you go to a court and you get a secret court to sign off on it, there's really not much recourse that Americans have. And as we saw in the Carter Page case, of course, this FISA to spy on the entire Trump campaign was directed in particular at Carter Page. Carter Page took all of these people to court, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Lisa Page, and the judge, unfortunately, rightly rules saying there's nothing we can do because of the way that this law is written. Sorry. So, I think there are some very powerful and important people and some real fighters on the weaponization committee. I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of tough characters there.
And led by Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan, Dan Bishop, Thomas Massie. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. And I think that this is an important thing in itself, Lou, to show the American public that we have people out there who are fighting for us, who are out there making a case, and who are fighting. So I'm very optimistic about that. The actual political policy, legal consequences, I think that we should moderate our expectations on that. But we want to see our guys fighting. We want to see people fighting for our country.
Yes, we do. But we're getting a lot of fights. We're in a lot of fights. We watch a lot of fights. But what we don't have is a beachhead. Right now, think of what the beachheads are that are held by the Marxist Dems and in league with the deep state. They control the federal government. They control the Department of Justice. They control the FBI. They control all of the intelligence agencies of the intel community. They control the Internal Revenue Service. They control the Treasury Department. They control the Defense Department. They control the State Department. And when I use the word control, I'm using it advisedly. They are in absolute control. A nice young 30-year-old aspirant who wants to go over to the State Department and be a part of the Foreign Service, good luck. If you happen to be a Republican, a conservative Republican, a Trump Republican, oh, you are in big, big trouble. And you're in big trouble if you're an American citizen abroad and you are not aligned with the Marxist Dems, the Democratic Party driven by them. And it's that straightforward. And people don't want to acknowledge it. Oh, I left out a very important department, Department of Homeland Security, which, by the way, is responsible for our wide open borders, for our alignment with the Mexican drug cartels, sex trafficking, deadly drugs that they're being smuggled across the border. Every state, as they say, is a border state. And that is because primarily of, thank you, Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and Joe Biden. It is a, this is, if I'm keeping score the wrong way, you tell me.
No, I think you're right. I how about this? I'll use an analogy with the press. I think that the press has always leaned to the left, but something has happened within the last 10 to 15 years that the press is something else. It's not about bias anymore. It's about, it's a platform for political operations. So I think it's a different thing. And I think if we look at if we look at government institutions, it's very much the same thing. Of course, aside from the FBI and the military, a lot of these places have always leaned left, but something happened here to break them. I mean, when it comes to the FBI, I think what broke it was the Church Committee, right? Because you had a whole bunch of leftists who were partnering with people in the intelligence services. The people in the FBI wanted to continue to be able to spy and to use those resources. And the deal was, yeah, okay, just don't spy on us anymore. And here, we'll give you a jail, a get out of jail free card before you do anything bad. And that's what FISA is. But I think there has been an attack on these institutions, and people have weaponized the institutions. Barack Obama understood how to weaponize the institutions. And he was basically pushing against an open door. You mentioned William Barr before, and I'll try to give William Barr a little bit of credit, even though I agree with you, Lou. The evidence right now points to the fact that William Barr not only knew what was happening, he was sitting on top of the largest election interference operation in American history, right? Which is astonishing. Astonishing.
But he had absolutely no self-awareness, no awareness of just how evil and corrupt a group was in charge. And I'm talking about the deep state, the permanent bureaucracy of the Department of Justice, which still is in control. Rod Rosenstein, for example, is still there, smirking and laughing his way through every concern expressed by the committees, whether it is judiciary, whether it's oversight, you name it. He's going to tell them to go to hell. He is also going to raise both hands in the air and flip them off from the left and right, and do so with a cackle. This is outrageous. And the Republicans keep playing some sort of stupid game. I am so tired of this nonsense where they don't acknowledge that we're in a battle for control of the federal government and don't have a strategy, an obvious strategy. They certainly don't consult with me on strategy, not nearly enough, in my opinion, to really overcome this tremendous enemy that now is within not only the walls, but has gained actual control of the court of the king. It's simply mind-numbing to think that the Republicans can't come to terms with that reality.
I think before they need a strategy, they need to understand what the world really looks like. They don't understand that a lot of the, I was going to say about William Barr, I suspect that he's one of these Republicans who believes, well, the institutions will take care of themselves. The institutions will be fine. Like, you don't understand. You're fighting against people. You don't even understand you're in a fight. You're up against people who have a Leninist mentality. That's who they are. And they all managed the last several years, they all managed to justify their inaction or their appeasement to the left by saying, well, you know, it's about Donald Trump. That's who it's about. And once Trump is gone, everything's going to be fine. What they never understood, what I believe they didn't understood, have not understood, they have not understood that the whole purpose of this whole of society censorship campaign with big tech, government agencies, the Democratic Party, the media. It's not about Donald Trump, right? They have so much contempt for Trump. They just thought it was about Trump. It's about replacing the Republic. That's what it is. That's why it's so large. And a lot of the people on the left are already zombies. They don't care. They're happy to be told what to do, and they'll be happy to take government handouts. Who cares about this? The people on the right, and I think many people on the right do have an accurate picture of this. Our leaders, however, do not. Maybe they do, and they're just terrified, because I got to admit, it's a scary thing. Once we look and what we see, what's really going on, it's a very scary thing. But if these guys continue to convince themselves, it's just a little partisanship and pushing and shoving, and don't worry. As soon as Nikki Haley's president, it's all going to be taken care of. Well, it's all going to balance itself out. Maybe that's what they see.
Perhaps that's what they see, but it's certainly it is a mirage. This is a moment in which people need to be clear-eyed and strong-willed. And, you know, Jim Jordan, James Comer, the chairman of the Judiciary and the Oversight Committees, I mean, you couldn't ask for better people. Yep. But what in the world are they actually accomplishing other than achieving a lot of TV time? They're not moving the needle. And this needle has to move. And what I can't understand is the Republican Party has chosen to stay with a loser in Ronna McDaniel. They're trying to be a Republican Party that is Trumpian first America, but they don't want anything to do, clearly, these leaders of the Republican Party with Donald Trump, because he actually isn't too happy about the establishment. He isn't happy with the status quo. He is strong. He's straight talking. He has achieved exactly what they say they want to. In 4 years, he did it all when everyone was working against him. And I mean everyone, whether it be the courts, whether it be the permanent bureaucracy, the deep state, the Marxist Dems, vile and vicious. And I mean, they took no prisoners, and certainly meant to destroy Donald J. Trump. I can't understand why there is not more organization around him. I don't understand why the Republican Party puts up with a Ronna McDaniel. Why do we tolerate a Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney comes out and tells everybody what a boffo job Joe Biden did watching that balloon fly across the country, and then shoots it down with a $400,000 guided missile from a $300 million airplane. I mean, are you kidding me? These generals don't make any damn sense. What in the world are we doing here?
I think one of the greatest historical moments in this country we've seen within the last several years, and that was Donald Trump's rallies in 2019 and 2020. And because we're talking about the congressional leadership, and we're talking about the investigators and getting to the bottom of stuff. Look, I appreciate people getting on media. I appreciate people getting on TV and talking about it. But there's a lot of Americans aren't there who aren't watching the TV. They're not listening to podcasts. They're not listening to radio. Why don't they get on the road and go out there and talk to the American people? Because if you're trying to fight the FBI, if you're trying to fight the intelligence services on their home turf, that's what Washington is. You're not going to win. At the very best, you're going to draw. But go out there, do what Donald Trump did. Make your case to the American people. Talk to the American people. Hey, here's what we're doing. I mean, that was like barnstorming. Get out there and talk to the American people. Say what you're doing. Talk about the corruption in Washington. Talk about how you're fighting it. Talk about what the weaponization committee means, what they're looking at. People out there understand what's going on. They understand the FBI is targeting them and their families, looking at, you know, spying on school parents, detaining January 6 protesters without bail, putting them in jail for years for misdemeanors. People understand what's going on.
What they have the Republicans done about it, though? Lee, right. Seriously. I mean, we've talked about this issue. We've talked with Joe McBride. We've talked with various folks about the plight of those political prisoners. There is no movement. The Republican Party won't put itself at risk. They will not extend a helping hand. And God knows, you know, the permanent bureaucracy. I mean, you're talking about every law enforcement agency, every intelligence agency is under the control of the Marxist left in this country. They are the globalist elite. They are all about one world, the new one world liberal order. This is an immensely unfair fight right now. And you look around the cities where crime is raging, drugs are flowing through the streets, the homeless pile up at, you know, in every crevice of the city. And they're all run by Democratic mayors and city councils and Democrat, Marxist, left-wing community organizers throughout their cities. They despair, the people of those cities, and there is no reinforcement because no one in this country is reaching out to them. The NGOs and the nonprofits are all owned by left-wing donors, George Soros, whomever you want. They're throwing money into NGOs, and by the way, the government is throwing money into them as well, because they're short-circuiting government itself, whether at the local level, the state level, or federal. We have created a monster of a mess in this country, and there has never been anything like it in world history. It is
absolutely.
It is. So daunting, I'm sure, for a lot of the academics who want to think slowly, carefully, and empirically, of course, but they can't and won't begin to raise their voices because they cannot believe what is happening any more than any one of us can.
What kind of a country would let a man like George Soros go around to our historic cities, our greatest cities, some of the greatest cities in the world, and back district attorneys who will let felons loose on the street to terrorize Americans? It's absolutely obscene. We know exactly what's going on. We know what he's done. We know why he's doing it. And the fact that people are even afraid to use his name and say what he's doing, it's public information. I mean, let's get that out to people. What's going on? This is what's happening. Why? They're creating chaos. They're destroying American cities. I don't understand. It's not a mystery. This is what happens if the DAs will not prosecute felons and they let them walk on the streets. This is what happens. You have crime, you have murder, you have rape, you have assaults, you have robberies. Who's behind it? Who is the man who is dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into this? And why won't we talk about it? Why won't we just like point that out? And at least we have to see clearly. We can't fight unless we see things clearly.
Well, see things clearly. It's clear that the Republicans have no leadership. There is no leadership in the Republican Party right now. The House is beginning its hearings, and I give them great credit. They are moving forward. But, you know, it looks like they're mounting up for a cavalry charge against machine guns, cannon from a different century. The weapons are different. The outcomes will be far different than what they expect by following old and now dated techniques and strategies for politics, because it just doesn't play anymore. You know, watching the Super Bowl, you saw all sorts of pop culture domination over issues, whether it be gender change or transformation, however you want to style it, whether it be the cute virtue signaling messages on the field of the teams in the Super Bowl, end racism. Hey, all with you. But, you know, what are you paying to, and what are you really doing to end racism? It's virtue signaling. Watch the commercials, the voice of business. It's outrageous. They're demeaning, objectifying, and outrageous. They are slurs against American society, and also part of the reason that American society is in decline. It's just a terrible thing. And here's Joe Biden. Here's a man who got elected without leaving his basement And now when people want to know about why he didn't shoot down a balloon, why he appears to be so compromised by the communist Chinese, where is he? He's back in his basement. He hasn't answered a question. Not a single question about his classified documents. And meanwhile, the only special counsel who seems to be energized is the one, Jack Smith, who's going after Trump for Mar-a-Lago, which was an absolute insult against justice and a breach of our Constitution by this Biden Justice Department. And guess who is the most energized? It's Jack Smith demanding more and wanting, by the way, to penetrate the attorney-client privilege of the President of the United States. And everybody is just sort of going ho-hum. These jackals have to be brought to ground.
There is something, people have gotten accustomed to this. This is something that I think that we should be very concerned about. It's outrageous, as you're describing, Lou. It's outrageous, and people have become accustomed to that. Well, they're going to keep going after Trump until they actually get to crucify him. They're not going to stop. They're going to keep going after him. And you're right. Instead of articulating the outrage and then doing something about it, we're just becoming accustomed to it. I mean, it's like the proverbial frog in boiling water, but it's not just about them targeting Donald Trump. That's what I mean. They're going after the constitutional order. They mean to replace the constitutional order. They're turning it into something else. And if we don't recognize it, if we don't do something about it, that's where we're going to be. That's where that's the legacy of the United States. Our country, our constitutional order, our representative democracy, these are not natural things. They have to be nurtured. They have to be cultivated. They have to be, we have to exert effort to maintain them. And if we don't, they will cease to exist.
There is for me, and I'm going to create some stir with this. I guess I better begin by saying I'm a God-fearing fellow. I believe in God, and I love this country. But there has been a group of people, primarily in the Republican Party, I believe, who've been talking about God-given rights and universal rights and human rights. And I want everybody listening to me to understand who I am before you judge what I say, and I hope you will listen to what I say. There is no such thing as God-given rights. There is no such thing as universal rights. There is no such thing as human rights. There are only those rights that our forebears fought for in 1776 and which are embodied in the Declaration of Independence and ultimately our national founding document, the Constitution. But those rights that are enumerated, please, please, Lord, don't let these folks keep calling them universal, God-given, and human rights. They are rights that Americans have fought for over two centuries. And people have to understand there is only one way to preserve them, and that is for Americans to preserve them. And that means by any means necessary, including fighting for them. Your thoughts as we conclude here.
That is stirring and deeply moving because I think you're exactly right. And I think that we sell these people short, right? We sell our forefathers short. And we say, yeah, you know, they're God-given rights. It's like, wait a minute. There are people who risked everything for these rights that we today enjoy. And to just say, yeah, God gave them. And then after we fought the British Crown, we just kind of collected them. That's not how it happened. These men and some women, they fought for these things that they passed down to us, and they passed them down. They passed them down through generations. And you're right. These things have to be kept. And they have to be earned. It's not just a matter of them being held in a trophy room or something like that. For us to be able to pass them on to our families, to our children and our grandchildren, You're right, Lou. We have to fight for them. It's time for us to join the people who have. I think that all the time we are lucky. We're blessed to be living in this remarkable time. If we seize the opportunity, if we understand the times, the time that we're living in, and if we look and see that we need to join that fight, that our founding fathers and generations after and generations, many generations before us, have waged the same fight by both at home and abroad for Americans, for us.
Absolutely. And when you, I hope everybody listening, when you hear people talk about God-given rights, God blessed our fight for these rights, but it was ours, this fight, our forebears' fight. It is our fight now. And when you hear people talk, particularly at the United Nations, and I will be honest with you, I am such a petty person. When I hear one of these representatives of the United Nations talk about human rights and universal rights, I think, well, go to any quarter of the world. I mean, any quarter, any nation, and I include so-called democracies around the world. And you find one society that has the rights that we do because we fought for our rights, because we have fought for them more than once. We fought through wars, 1812. We fought in the Spanish-American War. We fought in World War I. And you know what? We fought in World War II, and we were the dominant nation on the planet. And what did we do? We moved to help everyone, including those we had vanquished, whether it be the Japanese, whether it be the Germans. By the way, as we fought through the Cold War with the Soviet Union, we fought because we knew that that life itself and the planet was at stake, and somehow we have lost track of that since 1991, and we'd better return to that realization. Lee Smith, it's always great to talk with you. I commend you for all that you're doing, and let's get in this fight, and let's go win it. Everybody, please.
Exactly. God bless you, Lou, and God bless America.
Lee Smith, great American. Thank you for being with us, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. Here tomorrow will be Dr. Robert Malone. We'll be talking about pandemics and just what happened to the CDC, and is the WHO now in charge of American lives? Till then, God bless you, and God bless America.